come time for our first message this morning. I appreciate Brother Doug Horton. He pastors the Locust Grove Baptist Church in New Albany, Mississippi. Good to have he and his family with us. And appreciate Brother Doug's ministry there at Locust Grove. The Lord's blessed them there, where Brother Estes Perkle was for many years. And Brother Lockie was pastor there for about 2.5 years back in the late 50s. But appreciate how God's used this man. You hear him gladly as he preaches to us about 30 minutes this morning. Love you. Appreciate you.
Amen. Well, I do want to say that it is an honor and privilege to be here this morning. And I thank Brother Stephen and Brother Rule and Brother Jamie for the opportunity to stand in this place. And boy, we heard some good preaching yesterday, right? Amen. And last night as well. And helped my heart, and I'm thankful for all that he has done. This is 5 years that I've been coming to camp meeting here, and I met Brother Stephen 5 years ago at Brother Kevin Merritt's church. We preached together there. He invited us up, and little did I know that it would change my life. And I'm thankful for the friends that the Lord has blessed me with here, and some of my dearest friends in the ministry now reside here in North Carolina. And I appreciate your friendship, your hospitality that you've shown to me and my family, and we love you. But this morning, I've been nervous. He told me Sunday, he said, I want you to preach Tuesday morning, so I've had 2 days to be sick and nervous. I'd get over it, and then I'd get it again. And so, but nevertheless, I want to preach something that is just on my heart this morning. It's been on my heart now for about a month, and I've been preaching this at our church, and Jack here on the front, Brother Dana's nephew, made a statement yesterday. There was a theological round table going on at the hotel, and there was a gentleman said, I got scared and run off, and I told him later, I said, no, I don't understand all those big words, so I just get out of the way. I'm a simple-minded man, and nevertheless. He looked at me, Jack looked at me, and he says, I've never got over that part, for God so loved me, for God so loved the world. He said, I'm still on that part, I ain't got over that. Amen. And I want to say this morning, I hadn't either. I know what I am, and I know who he is. And I'm just thankful to be a child of God this morning. I'm the least among many. I'm like the Apostle Paul. Among the sinners, I am chief, but among the apostles, I'm the least. And but nevertheless, this morning, this has been on my heart, and I've tried to get away from it. I've tried to find something else to preach, but the Lord just won't let me get away from it, so you're going to have to get it and endure it this morning. And if I say something you don't agree with, just smile, and we'll agree to disagree and go on. Nevertheless, I believe we can all agree. I looked at Brother Daniel. I was sitting there beside him. I said, if you could have one text that you think is the broadest, deepest text, one verse in all the Scripture, that you could preach the rest of your days in and never get to the bottom of it, what would it be? And he showed me his, but I'm going to show you mine this morning. If you would, you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with us to the book of John, chapter number 3. And this is what's on my heart this morning, and just bear with me, and we'll be done before the light goes off, and Lord willing, and we will be, I promise you that. So, this morning, this has been on my heart. I've been preaching, I guess you say, a mini-series at our church on Sunday mornings. And I will confess, sometimes some of my greatest, I guess you'd say greatest sermons, I don't know how great that is. But nevertheless, I know a lot of people say you find inspiration for a lot of things in a lot of places. I know there's a lot of songs that are derived out of messages that preachers have preached. And I know a lot of preachers, they feel like, well, you just need to get in the Bible, and the Bible will show you what you need to preach. Well, sometimes I believe we'll just look around, God will open some things up and allow us to glean something from nature or whatever it may be. And that's what the Lord has done for me. There's a song, you may know them, you may not know them. You may like them, you may not like them. That's neither here nor there. But the Sampson family, Brother Billy Sampson, we were in a meeting with them. And we got a CD, give us a CD, and there's a song on his CD that has been ministering to my family. And has been ministering to my heart, and I just cannot get over it. And so out of that, the Lord has given me a three-part series. And I'm not going to preach them all this morning, but I do want to just give you a little bit of it this morning and move on out of the way and let somebody else take this place. But here in John chapter number 3, if you would, if you'll stand with us as we reverence the reading of God's Word, John chapter number 3. If there's only one verse that I could have to preach the rest of my days and never get to the depths of it and never get to the bottom of it, it'd be this verse. Because I've never got over this verse. 16 years that I've been in the ministry now. I've been saved 18 years, almost 19 years, and I still hadn't got over it. And I pray, my prayer is this morning that God will never let me get over it. John chapter number 3, verse 16. Oh, it speaks to all of us this morning. For God so loved. So loved. I like what Brother Jeff Jones preached yesterday morning about the precious blood of Christ. And that word, he said, so. Boy, that just sticks out. He didn't just love me, he so loved me. For God so loved the world. What? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You may be seated this morning. I want to start this morning and bring you up to speed of where I've been at and what the Lord's been doing in my heart. I started this series out of the song called Not Guilty. You may have heard the song. You may know the song. You may not know the song. But that has been ministering to my heart. And I want to start it out this morning. I preached the first message, and I must confess, I did steal a few thoughts the best that I could. I took the big shell that Brother Keith Allison preached here about 5 years ago, I believe the first year that I came, might have been the second year that I came, out of Psalms 139. He's in the congregation this morning, and I want to say that I appreciate him and his ministry and how he's been a help to me, even though he doesn't even realize it. But I took a thought out of Psalms 139, and I preached on the thought of that he knows me. And as you look there in Psalms 139, and the one thought that stuck out to me that really grabbed my heart and gripped my heart was the phrase that he is acquainted with all my ways. And I preached on that thought that he knows me, that he knows my sins this morning, that he knows that if I'm lost or saved this morning. I've always said there's two people that really know if you're born again or not, and that is you and the Lord, and he's not telling anybody else, amen. But he knows this morning my sins, of where I stand with him in not just in my fellowship, but in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I preached on the thought that he knows not only my sins, but he knows my standing this morning, that if I am saved by the grace of God, he knows that if I am in the will of God or not, and where I should be and what I should be doing or that I am not doing in my life. And then I thought about the thought that he knows my situations, amen. He says he's acquainted with all my ways. When I'm battling discouragement, like we find there in James chapter number 5, how about Elijah that says that he is a man of like passions? When you go back and you look into the book of 1 Kings, you'll find that Elijah was a man that battled discouragement, did he not? He was a man that he even battled death. He sat down under that juniper tree and just prayed that God would kill him. I want you to know this morning there's a church back home that their song leader, a young couple, a young family, a beautiful family, Friday afternoon, a 30-year-old lady, the song leader's wife, put a 45 caliber gun to her head and pulled the trigger and took her own life. I want you to know this morning, if you're here this morning, you're battling those thoughts of that, and it's neither here nor there, here or there, about what we think about that this morning. I just know there's a husband today that has carried his wife to the cemetery. There's two young precious girls that I don't really know the love of their mother, but I want you to know that he's acquainted with all of our ways this morning. When we're having discouragement, when we're fighting the battles of this life, I want you to know he knows. He's acquainted with all of our ways this morning. I thought about that thought of he knows. That is both convicting and it is comforting as well. He knows right where I'm at this morning. Amen. You don't know what room I'm in at that hotel room, but blessed be unto the Lord. He knows exactly where I'm at. Amen. He knows where I've been and he knows where I'm going this morning. I believe I'll just trust him for all that he is. But the thought of that, he knows me. And then a few weeks ago, I turned over to the book of 1 John, chapter number 4.
And I thought about, even though he knows me, the Bible tells me that he loves me. Amen. Even though he knows me, he still loves me. I like what Brother Dana says. I love Brother Dana. He's been like a father to me in the ministry and to my family. He's helped us in the good times. He's helped us in the bad times. He's been there when it's good, and he's been there when it's bad. I love Brother Dana. He's my wife's favorite preacher. Amen. I even can say that on the pulpit. I'm not even her favorite preacher. He is her favorite preacher. But I will say that since Brother Stephen's been coming to our meeting in May, that you're running a real close second. Amen. So nevertheless, but he loves me this morning. When I think about that thought that he loves me, he knows me. He knows me better than I know me. I know me pretty well this morning. I don't even love myself sometimes. Amen. Me and my wife celebrated 18 years of marriage yesterday. She's gotten to know me pretty well. But even beyond that, he knows me even more this morning. And yet, even though he loves me, the Bible says that he still loves me. I sure am thankful this morning when I'm as rotten and wicked as hell itself. And even today, as good as I might be, I'm still as wicked as hell itself. He knows exactly where I was. He knows exactly where I'm at. And he knows where I'm going. He knows where I have failed, where I will fail in the days to come. But even all of that, he still loves me, the Bible tells us. He loves me. I stole some thoughts from another preacher in this area as well, talking about his love. We see that it is described for us in the Bible. It's demonstrated at Calvary, amen, and it should be displayed in the child of God this morning as well. But I come to this thought this morning. He knows me, and yet he loves me. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8, that God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I told our folk this. You may agree, you may not agree. Before you ever was a sinner, amen, you might get this. Before you ever was a sinner, he already loved you, amen. Before you ever was, he still loved you. Hey, when you come into this walk of life, you realize you're lost and undone. Guess what? He still loves you, amen. Hey, when you got saved by the grace of God, he still loves you today. He knows you, and he loves you this morning. I just want you to know this thought this morning. He knows who you are. He knows where you're at. You say, ain't nobody loves me. I want you to know we've heard it preached all day yesterday and last night as well. We heard Brother Leonard preach it so beautifully last night on the broken things of this life and how our lives may look like it's in a bunch of pieces. I just counseled with a lady the other day that's been going through some things in her life. She said, I feel like I'm so broken. She said, I feel like I'm just no good for anything anymore. I said, you know what? If you'll get honest with yourself and you'll get honest with God, God can take all the broken things in your life and put them back together and make something that is a trophy of grace for the cause of Christ. Amen. I'm a broken vessel that the good Lord has put back together this morning. Why? Because he knows me. Amen. When I'm broken, he knows where to pick the pieces up at too. Amen. He knows right where to go. He knows exactly how to put them back together because he loves me this morning. And I come to this thought this morning as I was seeking on this thought. I preached this message on Father's Day. And my father was in the service with us. And I thought about this, that my earthly father, he knows me. I'm 37 years old, and my dad's always been in my life. He knows me, and he loves me. He may not like all the things I do, amen, but he still loves me. I'm his boy. I'm his. I not only bear his last name, his blood flows through my veins. He cannot deny me if he so chooses to deny me. Why? Because he has put his stamp on me. Amen. You understand what I'm saying this morning? He knows me and he loves me. And I do believe that my father would die for me, that he would give himself for me if it was in that stead. Friday morning we got up and my daughter was sick, my oldest girl. I've got a 12-year-old now and one that's 6. It'll be 7 in just a few weeks. You see the little Chinese girl running around, that she's mine, all right? If she's doing something wrong, just send her to me, and we'll take care of business, okay? But my oldest girl got up, and she wasn't feeling well. She's drooping. She's usually full of life and smiling. My wife had some homeschool things to do. That's actually Thursday morning. Had some homeschool things to do with the homeschool group. I said, I'll stay home with her, and I'll watch after her. And I sat there, and I told her, I said, honey, I wish that I could just get you up in my arms and get real close to you. and you could just put that on me, and I'd take it and I'd be sick for you. That way you could go on. You see, that's what a father's love is it not? He'd do things for his children that he won't do for nobody else. I don't know about you, does that resonate with anybody this morning? Amen. He's done some things for me that he ain't never done for nobody else. Amen. I'm thankful that Brother Daniel's talking about it being exclusive. There's some things you just can't get unless you're a child of God. Amen. You'll have to understand that. I know he's going to go further on with that in just a little while. But nevertheless, he knows me. He loves me. My earthly father would die for me. But I've got good news. Amen. I've got a heavenly father. He knows me. He loves me. And he did die for me. Amen. He went beyond what my earthly father could do. My father loves me and give anything in the world for me. He's helped me when nobody else would help me. He's let me cry on his shoulder when nobody else cared about anything that was going on. He's listened to me when nobody else would listen. And it sort of resembles my heavenly father. Amen. He knows me and he loves me. And he says, son, but I give my life for you. And that's where it separates right there. I come to this text this morning, John chapter number 3, verse number 16. I want to preach on this thought for just a moment. That he gave for me. That he gave for me. And I preached this on Father's Day, and I'm going to give you just a few thoughts this morning, and I'll be done. On some of the qualities or characteristics that our Heavenly Father has that ought to be in us. And I preached this to our fathers, but I want to preach this to preachers this morning, if that'd be all right. If you're not a preacher this morning, then you can just surrender for about 15 minutes, amen, and you can get it, and then you can get rid of it, all right? But this morning, I want to look at some of these qualities. When I think about a father, when I think about that he gave for me, and I want to magnify two truths at the end, I'll be done. But when I think about some of those characteristics, I think about a father, he is supportive, is he not? My father has always supported everything that I've done. And when it comes to the ministry, my father's always been behind us. When we wasn't wanted somewhere, he pulled up with a trailer, amen, in a truck. He loaded us up, and he moved us out. Brother Dana knows something about that. He got me run off from my first church, but I guess he's acquainted with all of my ways, amen. But nevertheless, my dad was there with the moving trailer. He moved us out. He's been supportive. He said, son, it'll be all right. God put you here, and God will put you somewhere else, don't you? Give up. And a lot of times he doesn't have to even say anything. Just his presence being there means that he's supportive. I want to say this morning to us preachers, I want to challenge us this morning. I am blessed for the church that God has given me. I'm thankful for what God has done for us in our church. It's real good right now, but I want you to know it ain't always been that way. I think about Brother Perkle. I got to preach to him right before, right after he resigned the church there. I got to preach to him, really didn't know him and didn't understand everything about him at that particular time, but as I've looked back, his wife is still in our church, and from time to time they'll tell us about things that went on. I thought, you know what, he's probably had everything was good. They loved him, and they just supported everything that he'd done. No, we're still a Baptist church, amen. All right, you can identify right there. But I want to say this, you know, we're very quick to tell our children when they messed up. It's going to get real quiet before it's all said and done. It'll be all right. Means we're getting real close. We're real quick to judge our kids and yank them up, spank them on the rear end. Yeah, we do that in Mississippi too, amen. And correct them when they're wrong. But how many times when they've done something good, how many times do we pull them up close to us and say, you know what, I've been watching you. I've been watching you keeping notes when I've been preaching, amen. My oldest daughter's keeping notes. She's been keeping notes on that. Like there's a pew of girls that sits right there, second pew on the right hand side. They go back, ain't nobody else can tell you what I preach. But they go back and tell you what I've been preaching because I've been keeping notes. How many times do we pull them up beside us and say, you know what? I've been seeing what God's doing in your life, and I want you to know I'm proud of you. Amen. When you see them folks that you see God doing something in their life, amen, they come down, get in the altar, get some things right. You see them begin to show up for Sunday school, amen. You see them show up on revival night. You see God doing something in their life and they've got an eagerness to want to do something. Won't you draw them to your side and say, you know what? I see what God's been doing for you. I see what God's doing in your life and what you want to do. And I want you to know, as your pastor, I'm proud of you. I'm supporting you. Because we're real quick to get up in the pulpit, amen, and take the whip of the Word of God and want to whoop them upside one side and down the other side. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Won't we be supportive? Because you know what? In Mississippi as well, the Lord's got a woodshed. You may can identify right there with that. And when I'm wrong, He takes me out there. But you know what? Sometimes on a Sunday morning when I've got it just right and I've delivered exactly what He wants me to deliver, nobody else may come out that back door and tell me anything that I've done good. But somewhere between the pulpit and the back pew, the sweet Holy Ghost comes by. He wraps His arms of love around me and says, "Son, I'm proud of you today." We're to have that in us. Be supportive. We ought to be sympathetic. Hey, if you can't find the sympathy of God in John 3:16, you ain't never. Amen. I sure am thankful that He sympathizes with me. Amen. You know what? He hurts when I hurt. He rejoices when I rejoice. You say, "I don't like that theology." Well, I'm preaching right now. You can correct it after a while. Amen. I just know as a father, He hurts when I hurt. Amen. He's acquainted with all my ways, not just the good ways. He's acquainted with all my grief. The Word of God tells us when we're down and out, that young family that's going through that this morning, guess what? He's acquainted with that. Amen. He's sympathizing. He's hurting with them this morning. He rejoices as well. He's supportive. He's sympathetic. He's strict. Requires much out of us. A lot of folks say, "Well, that's the reason I don't want to get saved, because that Bible tells me everything I can't do." Yeah. I want you to know, as I said, I've been in the ministry 16 years, going on 17 years now, pastoring the third church. I've been at Locust Grove 4.5 years, and I'm having the time of my life. You know why? Because I don't focus on all things I don't get to do. Because if I don't need to be doing them, if I don't get to do them, I shouldn't have been doing them anyway. But time cannot tell you all the things that God's done for me and let me get in on. Amen? Huh? Oh, yeah, He's strict. He's got some guidelines that He requires us to walk by. But I found this to be very true. If you'll just stay within the lines, amen, there's a whole lot of liberty in them lines. We get to come to places like this. I don't know if you're enjoying yourself, but I'm enjoying myself right now and yesterday too. Amen? And I'm going to enjoy myself the rest of the week. I didn't come for the meals that we'll get over there. I come for what I can get under here, because what I'm going to get under here, I'm going to take back to my folks, and I'm going to give it to them there. You say you're going to preach what we preach? Yep. If I can write your notes down, I'm going to preach it. Amen. Because you probably got it from somebody else too. He's strict. Amen. He requires much out of us. I want to say about a father, and we see this with the Lord, He lays out a guideline for us to live by. But I want to say He's stimulating as well. If you don't do what He wants you to do, amen, He's got a way of getting you to do what He wants you to do. Amen. He's stimulating. He knows how to stimulate you. My girls, they don't ever want to get up out of the bed. Amen. Going to bed at 12 o'clock at night here, it's got us messed up on the time anyway. And we're getting up early in the morning. They just want to lay there. They want to fuss, and they want to kick, and they want to do this. You say, "Oh, your kids are not in subjection." Oh yeah, they are. They just like your kids. Amen. And just like everybody else, I didn't want to get up either. I'm just going to be honest with you. I felt bad this morning. I believe I was running a low-grade fever, and all of you just said, "Oh Lord, he come to church anyway." Yeah, because I knew I was going to preach. I just preached through it. Amen. I feel bad after a while. I feel real good right now. But they know when daddy gets serious. Amen. There's times, get up out of the bed. Get up out of the bed. You may be one of those ones that I call them one time, then I go in there and lay the leather to them. That's all right. I'm a little more sympathetic. Amen. But nevertheless, when it comes right down to it, I tell them, if you don't get up out of that bed, I don't have a problem getting them up. There's a lot of times the Lord says, "You better do this. You better do this. You better not do that. You better not do that." How many times has the Lord told you that? Multiple times in our life. And then it comes time when the Lord just zeroes in on you and He said, "Now, I done told you for the last time." He knows how to stimulate you. He's supportive, sympathetic, strict, stimulating. He is substantial. That means He's of a real importance. Fathers, there is a real importance of you being in your children's life. That word substantial not only means a real importance, it means that of a high value. Man of God, I want you to know this morning, you are of real importance. Amen. You're not only a real importance to the ministry that God has called you to, honey, you are a real importance and of a high value to the church that God has placed you in. You don't preach to the standard of their receiving. You preach to the standard that God has given you. Amen. You don't lower yours to get down there where they're at. No, you are. That's my next thought. You are the standard. Amen. You're the one to step to the far, to the front and say, look at me. That's what Paul said. Look at us as an example. Won't you stand before your congregation and say, you know what? I know what God has given me and what he has given me, not only in his word, but in his church. And I want to be the example of a man of God that you can trust and rely on and depend on in this church. But he gave. Here it is. All of these things. But I want to finish with these two. A father is selfless. We heard it said last night. That prodigal son, that story, it's not about the prodigal. Boy. Brother Larry done a tremendous job. Tremendous job. I've heard Brother Stephen preach that series on the father and the son and that elder brother. If you've ever heard him, it's tremendous as well. But you see, that whole story is about the father. That father's selfless, is he not? I believe he gave of his time. He gave of his talents. He certainly gave of his treasure. I wonder what we're giving today. I wonder if we're not getting a response that we so want in our pulpits. I mean, I don't know a preacher here that's pastoring a church that would not love to sit down Sunday morning in your church, preach behind a choir that sings like this one sings. Amen? I'm just being honest with you. It would not like to preach to a congregation of folks like you. By the way, we're the cream of the crop. Amen? We're the little remnant that's left that's come together under one place. But it's not so that we can just have it here. It's for us to realize it's not about us. That's why I love this meeting. I come here 5 years ago, and I don't go to a lot of meetings. I guess you'd say I have some insecurities about me. I'm not comfortable with setting my family down in a lot of meetings. You can either agree or disagree. That's fine right there. But I bring my family here. I bring my wife. I come 2 years before I ever brought my wife. I want to see the second year was the same as it was the first year if y'all was just putting the show on. I'm just being honest. I don't care if you have been going 54 years. There's a lot that's been going on a lot longer than that. It ain't been nothing but a dog and pony show. I'm not interested in that. Because you know what? He knows us. He knows us. But I've come here for the last 5 years and I've seen man of God after man of God after man of God get up and preach. Never try to out-preach the other one. Never try to usurp the authority of the moderators of this meeting. It's their meeting. They'd say that it's our meeting. We get to be in on it, amen? If you want to look at some selfless individuals and you want to pattern your lives after some selfless individuals, I've never had Brother Rule or Brother Jamie, but I know if they're sitting on the platform with Stephen Dagenhart, they're all right. You won't find any more of individuals than these men of God that is pouring their lives into us. It's not about them. They're a picture of what a man of God ought to be. I'm thankful that our Heavenly Father was selfless. Amen. I'm thankful that it wasn't his will that in the Garden of Gethsemane there. I'm thankful that that cup didn't pass. Amen. Because I was in that cup. I'm thankful that he went all the way. A selfless act of he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. I want to finish and say that he's sacrificial. What are we giving? I wanted you to know the day that I got saved 18 years ago, Lord, give me something then. And truly, as the old saying is, it's a gift that keeps giving. I got up this morning and I got something brand new. When I got out of the bed this morning, laying at the foot of my bed was a box with a big bow on it. You say, your wife done bought you an anniversary present. Nope. Say, what was it then? I opened up and it was a brand new box of mercy. That's what it was. It's a brand new box of mercy. Say, why did he give you a new box of mercy? Because he can. It's his anyway. It's his to give. He's given it to the church, as Brother Dana said. He's done give it to the church. And you know what? I left out here last night with a whole lot of grace. I left out here last night with a whole lot of love. Amen. I left out here last night with a whole lot of peace last night. I left out here with a whole lot of mercy last night. But when I opened my eyes this morning, God had me a brand new box of mercy. Why? Because he's a still giving unto me. Even though he gave to me back then, he's a still a giving to me today. And I bless his name for it. He knows me this morning. He loves me. And he's gave it all for me, Brother Stephen.
Bless you. Don't you appreciate that preaching? I'm glad I've got a heavenly Father. Something.